It is not Friday yet, but we're getting there. Good morning and welcome. It is the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy decided to stop by today.
What?
Hey, where you been, stranger?
Oh, I decided to sleep in yesterday. You know, nothing going on.
Well, it's nice to see you. Thanks for making the sacrifice.
Thank you. I do what I can once in a while.
We do appreciate it. 8:07.
Boy, look who's trying to get this show through to get to Friday.
It is only 6:07, and that is your time check. Brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. A completely awful story. Israeli embassy staffers ID'd as a couple, fatally shot by a gunman who yelled, "Free, free Palestine," near D.C.'s Capitol Jewish Museum.
Wow,
doesn't that make you want to jump on board that cause, man? You know, nothing like killing a couple of innocent people,
Right.
It gets me excited.
You just want to sign up.
How do I get in that group, you know? Does it come with a jacket or a patch or anything, you know? A sick son of a gun. And this is what happens when you radicalize these people who are mentally deficient. And I don't mean necessarily dumb. They're just deficient in some ways. Two Israeli embassy staffers who were gunned down by a pro-Palestinian gunman outside the Capitol Jewish Museum Wednesday night been identified as friends and colleagues who fell in love and were just days away from getting engaged.
Oh, that is so sad.
Yaron Leshinsky, 28, Sarah Milgram, fatally shot in the street as they left the American Jewish Committee's Access Young Diplomats reception just after 9 p.m., Yaron and Sarah were our friends and our colleagues. They were in the prime of their lives. The embassy of Israel to the U.S. wrote on X this evening. A terrorist shot and killed them as they exited a vent at the Capitol Jewish Museum in D.C. The entire embassy staff is heartbroken, devastated by their murder. No words can express the depth of our grief and horror at this devastating loss. Yeah, absolutely. Well, again, you know, really, I'm doing it for the cause. Mm-hmm. This doesn't make me want to be on your team, get on your team. In fact, it makes me not want to give you the time of day. It makes me not want to address any issue that you have at all. You know, I want to tell them all, just burn in hell.
Mm-hmm.
You scum. Ugh, yes. Not even good enough to be scum. It just, not a way to get what you want. It'll never be a way. As long as we have good, strong, you know, Americans and patriots, you know, like Donald Trump and many of the people he has around him, as long as we have strong people like that, they'll never cave in to that cowardly way to try to make some sort of political change. It'll never happen. You losers. I hope they all rot in hell. I really do. James Carville, he thinks the answer might be AOC.
The answer to what?
To the Democrat Party not having a real leader or the so-called face of the Democrat Party, which, by the way, he historically has not been a fan of AOC.
That's why this is kind of surprising to hear.
Yeah. No, he once was a critic of AOC, the AOC podcast landscape, the whole thing.
Yeah.
Not a fan. Carville, not a fan. But when he was on with somebody on MSNBC, you know, he said, "Look, I don't think the party is in nearly as bad of shape as it's being portrayed to be." Okay, Look, we lost an election. I don't like the party. I don't blame the party reputation for being low, but I think if AOC wants to run for president and she gets the nomination, then God bless you. You're the leader of the Democrat Party. I mean, whoever gets that nomination is going to be it. We're like, oh, really? AOC would get your support? Carville added, if you win, you win. That's my attitude. You win the election, you got it. Okay, well, we know that. If you win, you've got
it. Yeah.
But, yeah, it's a little bit of a change. It just shows a level of desperation that many in the Democrat Party are, and good. I hope you feel desperate, and I hope you also feel nasty. You should feel nasty, because you're putting illegals in front of the American people. You don't care if malicious, heinous crimes of rape and murder, you don't care if they take place by illegal immigrants. You don't care.
Well, they'll fly to another country to defend them and try to bring them back. How wrong is that?
And sip margaritas with them.
Yeah.
It's, again, it is sick. All right. We can talk about better stuff like Florida Gator basketball team hanging out in the White House.
Now you're talking.
Yeah.
The team was hot from the very beginning, starting off the year with a 13-game winning streak and roaring to a 27-4 record in the regular season against really, really good competition.
President Trump really enjoying it. They awarded him a jersey. But guess who else was there? Yeah. Timmy T.
That's pretty cool.
Yes, Tim Tebow. So the Gators visited President Trump in the White House yesterday, joining the squad at the, well, maybe they shouldn't call him the squad, but joining the basketball squad at the White House, and on stage was an icon of the athletic program, Tim Tebow, the Heisman Trophy winner, two-time national champion, and one of the greatest college football players of all time. Tebow has been in D.C. and on Capitol Hill all week to lobby Congress about the Renewed Hope Act. This is a bipartisan bill that hopes to combat online child sexual exploitation with the help of the Department of Homeland Security. As such, Trump invited Tebow to the ceremony, where the president offered glowing words for the former quarterback. He called Tebow an NFL legend, one of the best college players ever seen, and he got a jab in against his Jets, too. He said, "You did damn well in the pros, despite being on the Jets."
Woo! That's a good shot, though.
Yeah, that was not a good... Yeah, he played in 10 games, threw for 39 yards, rushed for another 102. That was not a good thing for him. Denver. No. Denver was where Tebow, I thought, really shined. All right, so he was there. Trump continued to call Tebow a terrific guy and a winner. Yep.
We'd agree with that.
Because he is.
He is.
Absolutely. But kudos to the championship basketball team, Florida Gators, and accept those accolades and be proud, and what a program. That's been built back up since, what, the heydays of 06 and 07? Good times, I tell you, good times. All right, what else is going on? Well, you've got an emigration plan, emigration with an E, because that has to do with Gaza, and apparently Bibi Netanyahu is pretty excited about it. He calls it revolutionary. I wonder whose idea that was. Could it have been? Of course. Donald J. Trump's idea.
Wow. Yep.
We'll get into that a little bit further. Job fair going on. Career Source. They cover Citrus, Levy, and Marion County. They've got a job fair coming up Tuesday, June 10th, for anyone eager to land a hot job and a cool career.
Ooh, I like that.
All right.
Sounds good.
So for more information, just go to CareerSourceCLM.com. And good luck. And we hope you find a gig if you're looking for one, and a better gig if you're stuck in one. How's that?
I like that.
6:16 on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. Happy Thursday. You're listening to 97.3 The Sky. Happy, happy Thursday. We're getting there. It is 6:21 on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is in the house. Your time check brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. Top stories, the Gator basketball team, championship team, that is, visited the White House. Donald Trump, the president, great exchange with him and the players. Tim Tebow even showed up as well. That's great. The sad story, top story of the day, is Israeli embassy staffers shot and killed in D.C. There were a couple. They were young. And they were murdered in the street by a terrorist. And who, I guess, was chanting, you know, Free Palestine or something along those lines.
Yep.
We're never, ever going to cave in to violent acts, and that your political desires or wills will never, ever come to fruition as long as you engage in that kind of crap. That's my take. I think President Trump and many others would back me up on that.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Speaking of our President Donald Trump, what a meeting.
Wow.
What a meeting. The South African President, Cyril Ramaphosa, he was invited to the White House. He's sitting in the Oval Office. He's with the president. Trump goes, hey, what about all this genocide y'all are up to? What's going on here?
Uh-huh.
Woo, uncomfortable, awkward. Actually, it didn't unfold exactly like that.
Close.
Well, it was actually the South African members of the, you know, journalists or whatever, members of the mm-hmm. press team.
Right.
They were the ones that pushed Trump on, hey, you know, where'd you get this idea about the mm-hmm. genocide thing? In other words, questioning him.
But he was ready.
He goes, oh, really? You know, what do you want, some proof? Ah, okay, dim the lights.
And that had to be like, oh, no, what is he doing now?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Crank up a video.
Yep.
The video showed radical leader Julius Malema and other black political figures addressing rallies, chanting slogans such as, kill the farmer. And shoot to kill.
That's pretty blatant. That's pretty simple.
Well, yeah. That's even stronger than 86.
Yeah.
Using the term 86.
Absolutely.
Huh. The video also showed threats to seize white-owned farmland and a large memorial to murdered farmers featuring over 1,000 crosses along the roadside. Ramaphosa had begun by avoiding the issue, saying instead he wanted to focus on trade, investment, and efforts to promote peace around the world. It was a South African journalist in the room who demanded that Trump answer for his claims about genocide and his refugee policy for white Afrikaners. Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Ramaphosa said that Trump should hear directly from South Africans, pointed to three South Africans led by, or at least the group included, the golfer Ernie Els. Probably heard of him, professional golfer. All right. Trump then countered by calling for the video to be played. Ramaphosa and the journalist had to sit through its duration. We couldn't respond until it was over. And then he asked, well, what's the location of this memorial? Ramaphosa tried to argue that the leaders depicted in the video, they represented small opposition parties. Just, you know, these are just small, you know, this little nutbag speaking out or whatever. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Trump said, really? Those parties that you refer to are large enough to fill large stadiums with their supporters. Ooh.
Bam.
Ouch.
He was prepared.
And then he asked why this one speaker, Julius Malema, in particular, leader of the Economic Freedom Fighters, had not been arrested.
Okay, now it's a good question.
Well, there was a thoughtful tone part of this. Trump called on Ernie Els to make a statement. Els said it had been 35 years since Nelson Mandela had been freed, yet South Africa was struggling to fulfill its potential. Who could argue with that, right? And then he went on and he got it. He said, two wrongs don't make a right. He said, referring to anti-white racism, he added that South Africa needed America's help in making reforms. We need the U.S. to push this thing through. So, what should our role be? What exactly can we do? I mean, according to the information that I have seen, heard, and read, yeah, you've got some fairly large groups that are killing these farmers and basically, you know, they're forced to forfeit the land or whatever.
Mm-hmm. But in typical American media, lefty media fashion, mm-hmm. Watching ABC this morning, in no less than three different parts in this one story that you're talking about, they would have to use the word unsubstantiated or without proof in talking about what Trump would say or what Elon Musk had said.
Yes, they didn't.
They got an agenda on it.
They were pretty strong, you know, denouncing apartheid back in the day. But now all of a sudden, murdering people. Well, as long as it's just white people getting murdered, I mean, they probably deserved it, right?
And you can't prove
That's kind of their attitude.
Yeah, it's unsubstantiated.
Now, Trump was noncommittal when asked whether he was going to attend the G20 summit, which is going to be in South Africa in November. And on whether he expected South Africa to drop its case against Israel at the International Court of Justice on what compromises in particular is expected. He expected South Africa to make, but he had forced South African leaders to face an uncomfortably public way, the way that their country is perceived abroad.
Of course, the South African president has to get a little snarky and go, "I'm sorry, Mr. President, I can't buy you a plane." Yeah.
It is, well, thank you, President Trump, for shedding additional light on this issue and telling it like it is and not being afraid to put another world leader on notice. Yeah, I'm glad he felt awkward. 628 on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. Don't forget the Bob Rose Show podcast, available wherever you normally download your podcast. Click on subscribe. You'll never miss a minute of the show. Like, we're going to have a talk with Congressman Byron Donalds coming up at 8:35. You don't want to miss that. 97.3 The Sky. Brr. Did you feel that cold front this morning?
No, I did not.
You know, I'm beginning to think that the weather forecasts are actually coming from the shadow government.
Oh, no.
Except when you want a shadow or shade, they're nowhere to be found. Interesting how that works out. Yeah, big cold front is coming. Brr. Why do we even... Again, I said this yesterday. It should be against the law to say cold front when it's not, especially if you're talking about a Florida forecast.
Yeah, they may technically... It is a cold front in meteorological terms. That doesn't mean it's going to be cold. Now, I did see some clouds and the ever-so-slight momentary mist. That was it. Now, we are talking a chance of a shower or so late today, but who knows, you know?
You know, if a meteorologist walks up to a bar... You know, and orders a beer.
Yeah.
I think you should sell in that beer.
Yeah.
And make sure, though, before you do, you warm it up to about 93 degrees. And then you hand it to them and they go, this beer is more than warm. It's hot. And you go, no, actually, it's just as cold as the cold front you promised me today, pal.
Ooh. We did walk by the refrigerator with it.
Now hit the road, Jack. And don't come back with your terms like cold front ever again.
Yeah.
It's not right.
No,
I get all excited. I'm like, I get a tingle. I'm like, I'm going to wear a jacket.
You get a shiver down your leg?
And then I go, well, it's a shiver for a moment, but then you go outside and it quickly turns into a sweat bead.
Good point.
Anyway, first world problems, I guess. You know, as long as the AC still works, all is well.
Yeah, good point there.
Much better than, I don't know, being murdered in the prime of your life to people getting ready to get engaged that work together, and they're murdered. Two Israeli embassy staffers gunned down by a pro-Palestinian gunman right outside the Capitol Jewish Museum last night. They're identified as friends and colleagues who fell in love and were just days away from getting engaged. Yaron Lashinsky, 28, and Sarah Milgram, fatally shot in the street after they left the American Jewish Committee's Access Young Diplomats reception just after 9 p.m. Yaron and Sarah were our friends and colleagues. They were in the prime of their lives. The embassy posted a little bit of a tribute or whatever on X. Absolutely sickening and grotesque. The guy that did the murdering, apparently he was yelling, Palestine. No, not acceptable. I hope they put out statements that are, in fact, say something along the lines of, if you really think that violence and murder of innocent people is going to help with political sway and get people to see your point of view, absolutely nothing could be further from the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what else you can do. I mean, you threaten, what kind of threat can you really put out there? Because, you know, these murderous type psychos that have been brainwashed, they don't care. I mean, a threat's not going to, you know,
yeah,
it's not going to do anything. I guess, reiterate that no matter how wacky doodle you, your brain is, how twisted it, you know, that your brain is like a, you know, twisted up like a toad, no matter how. No matter how much, we're telling you right now, there's nothing you can do that will get us to see things from your perspective, and all this does to do is solidify that alienation. That's not good. Not good at all. All right, do we have some good news? Well, yeah, I mean, the Gators, they were hanging out, President Trump, That sounded like a good time.
It did, didn't it?
Yes.
He seemed all excited about it.
We'll get into that. Also, what are the plans for the weekend? Where are you going? Chances are you're going somewhere, at least according to, you know, AAA and their stats. It's going to be record-breaking travel season, some by air, some by train, some by automobile, yeah, some by truck. Greg, are you sticking close to home?
This weekend, yeah, because our next weekend's a little bit busy, so I think this one we will just kind of chill a little bit.
Yeah, that's the thing is, you know, you want to get away, it's a three-day weekend, come on. But then you look at it, okay, well, you got to compete with all these other people, you're going to try to get a room somewhere, whatever. And so, yeah, I think some people go, you know what, let's do a little staycation.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that.
Well, yes, there is something wrong with it.
Really? What's that?
Yes.
What's wrong with that?
Well, if it really is a staycation, but what happens is it turns into a chorecation.
Oh.
And that I am vehemently opposed to on every level of my being.
Because that's not time off.
No.
Going back to that heat you were talking
about a while
ago. I'd rather
be working than doing chores.
Well, yeah, because we work in an air-conditioned, very comfortable room.
Yeah. And Betsy's not barking at me how to do it every minute.
She could be listening.
Oops.
Just trying to protect you there, buddy. Just trying.
Let's reel that one back in.
Keep you out of hot water and the hot weather.
Reel that back in there. Just kidding, honey.
Maybe it's too early.
Let's hope. A Texas sheriff's deputy intercepted a pickup truck hauling a trailer packed with large round bales. You see them driving down the road, and you say, "Hey!" And everybody looks, and then you go,
"Get it?"
It happens all the time.
Mm-hmm. It does with me. It's like, "Oh, really?"
Oh, it's only Bob.
That was funny the first 200 times you did it.
Uh-huh.
But we're talking about Fayette County, Texas. Sheriff Keith Kornack reported on Tuesday that the drug interdiction, Sergeant Randy Thuman, stopped the F-250 pickup truck. You know why? It wasn't for the hay. It was the 12 migrants that were being smuggled that were hiding in the hay.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Hmm. Yep. And how many went? 12. 12. This is near Interstate 10, 658-mile marker between San Antonio and Houston. Yep, they discovered them. This method of concealment is not only deceptive, but incredibly dangerous to human life. Smugglers continue to use increasingly creative and hazardous techniques to transport individuals across Texas highways. So, yep, as much as you try to do to try to control this, I guess it's far better than, you know, 8 to 20 million people, but yeah, and the you know, the coyotes, they don't care if they're putting your life at risk.
Well,
especially if they got a little bit of cash up front.
Yeah.
Yeah, not a good story.
Mm-mm.
We got to come up with some happy news. Oh, I think I've got something for you. The Gators were at the White House. But wait,
yes?
No, that's not it.
Okay.
It's leading to my next question.
Oh.
I wonder when the last time there was a Gator in the White House. I know the answer, and I'll give it to you after this quick timeout on 97.3 The Sky, everybody. Welcome to another day in paradise. I mean, if paradise was, you know, like a rainforest without the rain, just the humidity and heat. Yeah. Welcome to it. Now we'll make the best of it. It is 6:50, 10 minutes till 7 o'clock on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. And the Gators were at the White House. You probably heard this by now. The Florida basketball team in the house. And President Trump enjoying it very much, saying, you know, kind things.
The team was hot from the very beginning, starting off the year with a 13-game winning streak and roaring to a 27-4 record in the regular season against really, really good competition. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so everybody was enjoying that. And Tim Tebow was even there. Now, he was there kind of for a different reason. He is pushing something that's a bipartisan bill to combat online child sexual exploitation with the help of DHS. So he was already there to try to lobby Congress to get involved in this Renewed Hope Act, as it's called. So that's a good thing. And then I know inquiring minds want to know, so it was the last time there was a Gator in the White House. Wow. It could also be the first time there was a Gator in the White House.
Seems like quite a rare occurrence then.
This is right back in the mid-1820s.
Okay.
Mid-1820s. It was old John Q. Not John Q. Public.
Mm-hmm.
John Q. Adams. You know, John Quincy Adams?
As in the president.
Yes.
Yes.
He was given a gift by Marcus de Lafayette. And that alligator was the gift. And it resided in a bathroom in the East Room for a time.
Okay, that's different.
Yeah, don't have any really extended information and records on that, but we do know.
Huh.
The gator actually lived in the White House for a period of time, but it was a real,
wow,
not a gator,
yeah,
but an alligator.
That's interesting.
Yeah, man.
Who do? Well,
I didn't
now
until,
we all do. So.
Well, I stumbled upon it, actually, this morning.
Yeah.
Because I was looking up, you know, gators in the White House.
Yeah,
and
right.
Then I saw that down there, and I'm like, what? I thought I'd share it with everyone because, you know, there's that or talking about death and destruction, doom and gloom.
Yeah.
We can find that. Unfortunately, we can find that pretty much everywhere. Hey, what's old MacGyver up to, man? Have you even heard anybody talking about MacGyver?
Oh, man.
In a while?
Little paperclip and a little chewing gum and he can save the world.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
He was awesome.
Duct tape. Well, I mean, who could, if we all had access to duct tape, pair of pliers, well, we can all pretty much fix anything.
Yeah, but he was.
You could just arm a nuclear bomb
amazing.
With duct tape and a pair of pliers. Well, especially if they're vice grips.
Mm.
That's trademarked, by the way.
I hadn't thought about that, but you're probably right. Kind of like Q-tips.
Of course I'm right.
Yeah.
It's like the real brand.
Yeah.
They were the originators. Anyway, I'm not talking about that MacGyver. No.
Spelled different, right?
Yeah, it's close. I don't know. MC, capital I-V-E-R.
As opposed to MacGyver.
MacGyver?
Yeah.
MacGyver?
Yeah, it's different.
Anyway, don't mess it up. Greg, gosh, I was on a roll here. It's MacGyver.
He's dreaming again.
It's La Monica MacGyver. Yep.
Hmm.
And did you see the video of that? When they went into, you know, where ICE had a detention center in New Jersey. I mean, did she or did she not play college football? She was a middle linebacker. Did you see the way she came in? Bam!
I was thinking the same thing when I saw that. I'm like, did they have, like, girls football at her school or what? But she's saying they were aggressive.
Oh, no, she played with the guys.
Oh, I think she could beat them up.
Yeah.
But she blamed them, you know, elbow and shoving and...
It's on video.
It is on video.
And Tom Holman said, yeah, we're going to prosecute her.
Yeah.
He must be bluffing. Oh, no. They indicted her. They came. They arrested her.
Nice.
Actually, she showed up.
Well, yeah.
They didn't... But,
she should be.
He said, the president doesn't bluff... I don't bluff. Yeah, I don't see Tom Holman.
No.
Probably not a poker player. So.
No.
So I don't see him bluffing.
He would just. I don't even know. You can't read the guy's face. Now that. I think it's just a built-in look. But he means it.
Well, he was on with Hannity. And Hannity even. He put it right after. He said, well, the days of this crap are over. This is where They were talking about MacGyver and the way she acted outside that ICE detention facility. And Sean went on, he said, that's what the president said. So what do you say, Tom? I say, look, the president doesn't bluff. I don't bluff. I said the day after inauguration, when they started attacking ICE and Border Patrol and supporting sanctuary cities, I said, you can hate on ICE. You can support sanctuary cities. You can turn a blind eye to ICE taking public safety threats off your streets. But you can't cross a line. I said that 1,000 times. You can't cross a line of impediment. You can't cross a line of knowingly harboring, concealing illegal aliens from ICE. You can't commit criminal trespass. And you certainly can't put hands on an ICE officer, or you will be prosecuted. So he gave the warning, and he said, I gave it 1,000 times, and I meant it, and I know President Trump meant it, and we already have two judges being prosecuted. Now we've got to get this councilwoman being prosecuted. It's the right thing to do because they broke the law. They're not above the law either. Huh. The ones who are always saying that, not above the law, not above the law, seem to think that perhaps they are. No, not so fast. Good morning and welcome. Hour number two will begin in moments. You're listening to The Bob Rose Show on 97.3 The Sky.